When you carry a word for 35 years, you don't really get to choose when that word comes to pass, but you have a part, a major part, and you have to walk with it, and you have to talk with it, and you have to surrender it, and you have to keep it God's way. But when instructions come along that shift the very core nature of what you're doing, it's very powerful. I've been waiting for this particular operation be initiated, which is now officially initiated. How many of you know we're in the 70th year, beyond the 70th year? It's been fulfilled twice now. If you don't know that revelation, go to the website, listen to it. God has doubly confirmed the 70th year, meaning the time to come out of Babylonian captivity is at hand. The time of the greatest generation to walk the face of the earth is at hand. The time of the arrival, the king, his crown, the glory, all of this is at an at-hand position now. It's most amazing. So I want to kind of jump into what he's been sharing with me in this last week, and it's actually been confirmed. What I'm holding here in my hand, you guys remember me giving you the testimony of how we broke the spirit of poverty and those scripture notebook cards and not even having $5 at the time? Well, these are those notebook cards right here. And I just so happened that God woke me up early in the morning and started giving me what I was giving you today. And I opened my dresser to get a yellow notebook pad, and there they were sitting. But all the scriptures we built this house on are written on these little guys right here. There was a day that I didn't even have $5 to go to Walmart and buy these. That was how bad it was. And from that 11-month stand, the spirit of poverty was broken. So these are a treasure beyond treasure right here. They're all in that Framing Your World book now. But I'm saying that to say this, because that was a milestone that actually gave birth to this church. And there's another milestone we're at now. And I want to share that with you today. I know we all understand faith. There's not a person alive that doesn't walk in faith. But I want to give you what the Spirit of the Lord has been training us for a long time. I'm going to give you a mystery today of what I believe, how the kind of faith that can move global mountains, generational mountains, move them out of the way. Amen. And transform the city, the nation, the globe that we live in. Amen. How the literal invisible kingdom of heaven comes into the earth for full manifestation and birth. So I know you already think you've heard this, so just put that on a shelf and just listen to what I have to say, or what the Spirit of the Lord has been saying here. God's going to take us to another level with this. So we're going to begin in Mark 11. This is where he was centering me on, and he said, go back to Mark 11. This is that morning he woke me up, and he showed me two things. He goes, I want you to notice in these three verses, how many times do I say believe? And how many times do I say shall have? Okay, so he says believe twice, and he says shall have twice. But there's two different instructions on how the shall have comes into the earth. Everybody wants kingdom come. There's not a person that's born again alive that does not want to see the manifestation of the invisible kingdom of God in the earth. From the creative realm to the crown to you name it, we want to see our promises. How many of in here are carrying a promise? Raise your hand. Now, promises can be answered in a day. Some promises can be answered in a month. Some in a year. Like this took 11 months for this particular promise with these scriptural notebook pads. But then there's promises that can take your lifetime to bring into the earth. Promises of God, you write this, are not linear. They don't exist in linear time, meaning like a baby, we know that most of the time linear time is going to say a woman's going to get pregnant and in 9 months the baby's ready to come. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. Promises have everything to do with your cooperation, what's happening on the inside of you when it comes, and what's going to happen inside determines when it's going to come outside. Sometimes that can take a long time. Sometimes some people never get it to the outside. They die with the promise and God has to reassign it. That's not going to be us. Everyone's looking at your neighbor and said, that is not going to be us. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, shall not doubt. He did not say in his mind, heart. With the heart man believeth. That's Romans 10:10. With the mouth, the confession is made to salvation. Do you know that you could believe upon the Lord all day long, but until you say it with your mouth, that will not come into the earth? Until you confess with your mouth and ask him into your life and confess your sin. Confession is makes the salvation possible. I can believe it all day. Beside, I have to say it. There's two major components to believing God. One is what's going on in the heart. The other one is what's going on in your mouth. Amen? And both of those got to connect. But more than that, I want to talk about how the promise operates within the heart. Now what he says, but shall believe those things which he saith to come to pass or come into existence. That word means you have to believe what you say to come in existence. That's how a mountain's move. How do I believe what I say to come into existence? Anybody's ever tried faith and tried it and quit and tried it and quit, you'll find out that is not as easy as it sounds. Anybody can take a word and put it in your mouth, but that doesn't mean you're believing in your heart. It takes time for that word to grow on the inside of you. He says, now believe those things which he saith, he shall have. Then he gives the second part, which is actually the first part. He says, therefore I say unto you, when you pray, believe you receive. So he's asking two different things. Believe you receive and believe that what you say will come to pass. Not just any arbitrary thing you say. It's not the arbitrary words that you say, but death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you speak death all day long, you're going to get a harvest from that. But one or two arbitrary words is not going to create a harvest around your life. But if your life is filled with negativity and your heart is filled with negativity, it's going to come out of your mouth. And if it continues to come out of your mouth, it will produce an environment of negativity. What's going on in here is eventually going to come out of here, whether you like it or not. If your heart is bitter, if the heart is in pain, if the heart is in a state of unforgiveness, it's eventually going to come out of the mouth. I love that person, but it doesn't mean I have to like them. You ever heard that before? I had someone actually tell me that one time. You know, God's commanded me to love you, but that doesn't mean I have to like you. I said, okay. Whatever's going on in this side will come out. The heart is the center of everything. And Proverbs says, guard the heart with all diligence, for out of it's going to come the issues of life. So we have two things he's asking us to believe. One is believe that you receive. That is a transference revelation. That is believing what God has spoken to you. You have to receive it from him into the domain of your spirit in here. All that it takes. It took Abraham 25 years to do that. Said he, against hope, he believed in hope. That wasn't the manifestation of his promise. He had to first believe in hope when he was against all hope. How'd you like his promise? God's commanding him to give life out of a dead womb and a dead body. His birthing faculties were dead. Sarah's were dead. He was 99. She's 90. And God's still commanding them to give birth. How'd you like that? You're wearing your circumstance 24 hours a day. And you still have the command that doesn't change. How's that for the impossible realm? He had to believe in hope in a hopeless situation. And then he said he becomes strong in faith, giving glory to God, fully persuaded. You don't wake up fully persuaded. That is a process of what's going to go on inside of you, the process that I'm going to talk about. So there's two things. Believe that you receive. And just recently in this last year or so, God has given us the incredible revelations of the face of God. I believe they're the final frontier of the body of Christ. The revelation of the face of God. But listen, those revelations cause faith to be written and the finished work to be written on the inside of us from a whole other realm. What did he say? Believe that you receive and you shall have. Actually, most translations are going to say it like this. Therefore, I say to you, believe that you have received, done, finished, complete. I have to receive something before I have it. And I have to receive it in a finished state. What the face of God did is allowed us to move beyond outside of time. He Star Trek'd us, basically, you know. We got to move outside. You know, there's many words in the Bible that speak of your finality. Not just where you are, not just where you're going, but your completion. How about this? I am, you are complete in Him. To Him who justified, how many of you been justified in here? Raise your hand. That means you've been born again. To them who justified, to them He glorified. Wait a minute. The glorification hasn't even taken place yet. There's not a single one of us that have been glorified, but in the Bible it's already spoken, it's done. It's complete. How about this one? In Hebrews chapter 10, he says, you are forever perfected. How about this one? You are holy and without blame. Is there a single person in here without blame today? Holy, without blame, unblameable, unreprovable. Who else is unreprovable in here? It says, so holy, unblameable, unreprovable. He presents you faultless. Which one of you are faultless in here? But you are in Him. Even Paul, he kept the law blameless. Perfectly blameless. The Bible says he kept it blameless. He says, but my righteousness, but to be found in Him, not having mine own, I consider my own righteousness but dung, that I might find His. Paul gladly exchanged all his perfections of the flesh for the perfection of Christ. This Bible, this standing, this operation is not about what you achieve. It's about what He achieved. But it is about how much of Him you can achieve. And the only do that is by faith. The only way is to move into what He's already given. It's a free gift. You can't work for it. You can only receive it and appropriate it by faith. So we have places in God that are finished, complete. And what the face of God did is allow us to walk over there. He taught us how to walk over there with our promises and find out there was a realm of finality. How do you walk out into a place you can't see? You can't. You have to see it. How do you see it? The Word is living. It's alive. It gives you revelation of who you are, where you're going. That's the nature of God. He's speaking from another realm, but your spirit, He's going to activate and allow you to see that realm and walk over there by faith and stand over there by faith. Amen? And so we started doing that. We started, and there was really no end to that realm. He just started taking us one after another, and started painting a future for us. And all of this was still what I would classify as the receiving realm. There is a receiving realm that you literally have the finished work of God, the finish line of your promise written inside of you. To the degree you move from hopelessness to hope, to full of hope, to full of faith, to full persuasion on the inside. It's not until you get to a certain level on the inside that that's going to be allowed to come out. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, He woke me up again. He's waking me up in the morning and speaking to me. He says, look at Mary. I wake up. He said, look at Mary. I'm like, Lord, I know all about Mary. How many of you ever done that with God? He goes, look again. He goes, the first thing we want to know is Mary. He says, what if through the Immaculate Conception, she conceives and then he comes out 1 month after the conception. Do you think he's formed in her womb? Nature declares the glory of God, even childbearing, seed time and harvest. There is a time in which a baby is formed in the womb. It has to grow. It has to be nurtured inside. It's not ready to come outside. It's not ready to be made manifest yet. And if it does come out before its time, most often it'll come out with deformity. That is the same with the promise. With us, because what happens, this is what happens, and listen to what I'm about to say to you. When God speaks to you where you are, God speaks to you in time from where you are over here. But he's speaking from a dimension that's completed over here. It's all finished in him. He sees your end from the beginning, but he speaks to you from here. So he brings this realm to where you are, and when he brings it to over you, what you do is you see that whole realm. You feel it, you touch it, you taste it, and you feel, I'm ready. Because he's bringing the faith of that realm, the living realm. He puts you on a mountain, and he gives you his word, and he gives you more than you have. You feel like, oh my God, I'm ready to take it on. Goliath, come on, baby. Because he speaks to you with his faith. How many of you have ever had that kind of mountaintop experience where God speaks to you? Go, oh my God, I'm called. You feel like you're ready to take it on. The worst thing you ever can do is go act on that. Because all God's doing is he's speaking the seed. He always declares the end from the beginning. But it's not just because he's declared it. It's still coming in as a seed. He's just showing you that seed inside. It doesn't mean it's ready to come out yet. It actually starts as a seed. But we, because we get these encounters like this, we feel it's ready. I felt I was ready 20 years ago. I thought I was ready 15 years ago. 14, 13, 12, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. How many times have you been here and said, this is our year? We're always ready. Thank God, God knows when it's ready. What if it's only half formed in the womb and you're trying to get it out and God said it's not ready? He doesn't let you know it's ready. He just keeps speaking to you from another realm. The reason he's doing that, because he wants it to grow up inside of you. So when I was looking at Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 30, I found something very interesting here. I know every one of you ladies would like to be Mary at one point in time, but do you realize what was spoken to her has still not come to pass? Do you realize there are certain things that were spoken to her in her conception that still has not come to pass? She's still waiting. Verse 31. Fear not, Mary Gabriel. Thou hast found favor. Behold, you will conceive in thy womb, bring forth the son, and you call his name Jesus. That's come to pass. He shall be great. That's come to pass. He'll be called Son of the Highest. That's come to pass. Uh-oh. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there shall be no end. He has given him the throne of his father David, but he has yet to sit on that throne in the earth. He is yet to rule from that throne in the earth. He rules from it in heaven. It was reassigned. He went before the Ancient of Days. God reassigned the throne of David. We just got into all those revelations. Remember that? God is telling him, telling her in the birth, this is the king you've all been waiting for. He will sit on the throne of David. He'll rule from the throne. Not a single day in the earth did he ever rule from the throne. Didn't sit on David's throne in the earth. He's going to. So what God was doing, think about this, in the conception, God speaks something that still hasn't even happened 2,000 years. That's about to happen, by the way. The King of Glory is about to step foot back down in the earth, and he's going to rule from that throne for 1,000 years. And we are going to rule with him. That hasn't happened. Mary is still waiting for something that was spoken to her in the conception. Why? Because God always brings the end from the beginning. You know what? We have to be careful how we interpret things. Because she's over here, I got a king inside of me. She's raising a king. She sees the day he's anointed. They're all looking for him to be King David. Take down the Roman occupation, rule and reign in the days of Solomon and David all over again. They're all looking for that. That wasn't even for their generation. It wasn't even for 2,000 years to come. It was not going to happen. Do you think God explained to her? I asked the Lord that today. I said, did you ever tell Mary what was really going on? I mean, she had to have asked. I mean, she sits there and watches her son be crucified. And that whole promise is yet to have been fulfilled. God had something else designed. He wanted to produce a new creation that's going to rule and reign. A new creation, Christ in us. We are in Christ, ruling and reigning in union with him. It didn't stop God from saying the end from the beginning. He programs the end in the beginning. That's important. Mark 4, he talks about this whole revelation you'll find in Luke 8, Matthew 13, Luke 8, Mark 4. These are all the same parable. He says, do you not know this parable was taught the sower, the parable of the sower? How then will you know all parable? The basis of what I'm saying to you in this is how the very essence of the kingdom works. And if you don't understand this, if you don't know this parable, how will you know all parables? It's the very essence of how the kingdom works. It's the mystery of all mysteries. We preach Mark 4, your Bible would open to it in the early days. And still, just now beginning to understand what he said. So we're going to take a little trip today through Mark 4. I'm going to share a few things about how faith works in these operations. The first thing he says, the sower soweth the word. That's the Father. He's sowing the word. Now, Matthew gives us a really clear cut indication about this. He said, this is not just any word we're talking about. It's the word of the kingdom. Word of the kingdom is a little different than words of instructions. The word of the kingdom is a birthing word. It's meant to bring heaven to earth. This is how you bring heaven to earth. The word of the kingdom brings heaven to earth. This is how it's going to happen. And the first thing he talks about is the devil cometh immediately. To snatch the word. He's not snatching salvation. He's snatching up the word of promise. He's coming hard because he understands how it works. And he brings persecutions. He brings afflictions. He brings the cares of this life. He brings deceitfulness of riches. He brings the lust of other things. He has a war machine designed to steal one thing, is the word. And if that is not the highest priority of our life, what to do with what's been given? It's going to get neutralized. If it gets neutralized, it won't bear the fruit that God's intending for it. Now I want to share a few things about how this word works and what the Lord was sharing me. So if you will, Mark 4 verse 20, I just exhorted the first part of Mark 4. It said, these were sown on the good ground. Say, I'm good ground. Such as hear the word. And if you put all three of them together, Matthew and Luke, you're going to hear it like this. Hear the word of the kingdom and receive it. Hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it. Hear the word of the kingdom and keepeth it. All four of those is what comprises good ground that's going to bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold supernatural fruit coming out of the kingdom of God into the earth. Amen. Now before I get in this, when he's talking about the word is sown, I want you to see specifically where it is sown. Verse 15, Mark 4. And these are by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their mind. It's not what you have up in your head that's going to cause the kingdom to come into the earth. It's the word that's sown in the realm of the heart. Where is it sown? The heart. The heart realm is the birthing center, not the mind. We don't give birth out of the mind. That's why people are so, if they get too up into the intellect. They're trying to discern God from a mind that's fallen. Your spirit's been recreated in the image of God. Your spirit can contain the living word, and the Holy Spirit can extract revelation from that word and cause the light of it to release in your spirit. Your spirit then releases that up into your mind. That's the way it works. If you reverse that process, you're not going to get the living word. You're going to get information. And knowledge and information does not birth the kingdom of God. The devil does not care how much word is up in your mind. What he cares about is what's in the heart. What's in there, what's being represented, what's understood, what's being kept. That is what he's after. Because that word can produce a harvest that he cannot stop. He has no defense for that harvest. See, the word sown where? In the heart. What does Romans say? It's the heart that believeth, and the mouth, the confession is made to the salvation. The first thing we're going to do if we're going to give birth is we're going to have to learn to believe in the realm of the heart. We have to learn to keep something there long enough to grow up. Just like you mothers that get impregnated, that has to grow up inside of you. You can't release your baby day one. You can't release him in a month. He's not ready. She's not ready. Yeah, so the benefit of the teaching, that's Apollonia back there. Praise God. He says, this lady said that she almost missed God by 18 inches from the realm of the heart to the brain. If you can miss God big time, your spirit's the one that's going to contain. Now notice this. We always hear this particular scripture. We always go, out of the abundance of the heart, a good man bringeth forth good things, and an evil man bringeth forth evil things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We always take that to the negative realm. But what did he say? He said good things. How does good things being brought forth? It's got to come into a place called the abundance of the heart. Say abundance of the heart. Your heart is a war center. Whether you know it or not, God's in there. The devil wants in there. The word's in there. That's where it's all going to happen. A good man out of the good heart bringeth forth those things that are good. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak and bring forth the harvest in due time. We're going to talk about harvest now, and we're going to talk about season and time. I want you to look at these revelations of what happens on the inside, because so many of us don't understand the fact that he said through faith and patience we inherit, right? So we just think, well, I'm just going to wait a lifetime and God's going to do it. You're waiting, yes, on God. He's also waiting on you. We are in a design with God that we are co-laborers together with this word. He can't do it without you. You can't do it without him. He's not going to bypass you. If he does, he's going to get another you somewhere to get it done, because God's will be done. Amen. He's going to get somebody that can cooperate with him to get something in the earth that he wants in the earth. But he's not going to bypass his system. There are certain things come in through the gift realm of God, but we're talking about giving birth here. We're talking about promises now. We're talking about all these promises that are living up inside of us, that continue to live up inside us, and we don't know how to get out. There is a time for them to come out. That's what I'm talking about today. Go to now, Mark 4, verse 25. He says, for he that hath, this whole parable is about the word, to he that hath shall more be given. To him that hath not, from him shall be taken away what he has. What is he saying? To him who has my word, the word of the kingdom, to him who understands it, to him who received it, to him who keeps it, to him who's allowing it to remain in the heart, in the mouth, in a growth period. It's called a growth time. The word has to grow just like a baby has to grow. Even though at times God will come to you from the end and speak your finish line, you'll feel like it's ready to come. All he's doing is breathing life into what's going on inside of you. It's still got to grow. It's meant to go to full age. It's meant to overtake you. It's meant to possess you. But it doesn't come like that in the beginning. It comes like a seed. Notice what he says in Mark 4 when he brings this promise. Notice what he says here in verse 31, Mark 4. It is like, where did we like the kingdom of God? It's like the grain of a mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth, who is the earth? He's not talking about the ground out there. He's talking about you. Your spirit is the ground of heaven. Your spirit is where God's doing his planting. He's an agriculturist. He is planting stuff up inside of you. He's putting some serious treasure on the inside of you. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. He's planting on the ground. My spirit's not made of dirt, but it's made of some ground that living word can get up inside. But notice what he says when it comes in. It's a seed. When it is sown in your heart, your earthen vessel, it's less than all the seeds that be in your earthen vessel. How can that be? The word is powerful, mighty, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's coming in as a seed. And even though God may from that other realm breathe upon it, give you dreams, visions, prophesy, but the least of all things that be in the earthen vessel, the word of promise will be challenged over and over and over again. But when it comes in, I want you to understand this, it's coming as a seed. When it comes into the realm of your heart has a lot of stuff working in it. Because your heart is fair ground for God and the enemy. And you. You are part of the equation too. When God gives promise to Abraham, what's he do? He initiates his own plan. How to bring an heir into the earth. First it's Eleazar. Let's make Eleazar the heir. This would be perfect. He's been a son of my house. He's a servant. I call him a son. He's perfect. God said, no. Abraham wasn't done. Ishmael. That's part of our equation. We try to help God out. Then you got the devil and all his stuff. The heart realm, it says the least of all things going on in there in the beginning. Because it's coming in a seed. But what it wants is ownership. That word is going to own you. If that word is not stolen, squelched, if it's not smothered, it's going to own you. You're going to walk around. This thing is possess you. You talk about it in the daytime, in the morning, when the sun goes down. To the degree you don't know what to do with it because it's growing now. It's meant to do that. It's supposed to be growing up inside of you. It will grow. The Bible says it groweth up. It's still growing inside you. Now watch this revelation right here. Go back just a minute to verse 26. He said, so is the kingdom of God, if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep, rise night and day, the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth, say, here you go again. Who's the earth? You are. Bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Laws of physics govern agriculture society. The corn is going to be first, the ear is going to be formed, then the full corn in the ear be formed. Do you realize that everything he's saying is going on inside of you? He says, first the ear. First, in the full corn in the ear. All of that is happening on the inside of you. It still hasn't gotten out yet. That whole progression right there of what he says, this is how the kingdom will work. It'll rise night and day. You know if not how, but here's what could happen. And he says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It's a progressive that grows on the inside of you. But even that statement, he's not speaking of fruit yet. It's growing. It said it groweth up. The seed will release because it has life in it. It has the finality in it. Just like when Gabriel comes to Mary, he didn't just speak of a birth. He spoke of a king that would rule the earth that hasn't even happened yet. She's still waiting 2,000 years. For part of that promise. She got half of it. The other half she's waiting on. That's a promise to her. There are things that are going to grow on the inside of us. Say, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. The thing about it is our mind will get in the way and think, we see the blade, we see revival. We see the ear, we're seeing global revival. Let's go now. Go now. And God said, not yet. A mother will know when her time has come, but we don't do this every day with God. We don't know when it's ready. He does, we don't. Sometime when it's in the ear stage, we think it's full corn in the ear, because what's the next phase? Fruit. This is when it moves from the outside, inside to the outside. This is what we've been waiting on forever. Every January, if you are here in this church, you're going to hear us say, this is our year. Because every year we think we might be in the blade. We're not in the blade, I'm telling you that right now. We might be in the ear. It's still growing. To God, oh, he's 6 months old. I've been in 30 years. He goes, yeah, but he's 6 months old inside of you. Not ready yet. You still got an arm and leg to form. You do want him, the baby, to come out full, complete, right? The fullness. So now what's he say? Now it's time when God knows the full corn in the ear. That's when you are bursting out of the seams. That is when, how many mothers have been there in the ninth month? God bless you. I do understand a little bit in the spirit of what you guys, ladies go through. Yeah, I mean, it is ready. So then what happens? Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, say the fruit is brought forth, what is he saying? That's when it moves from within to without. That moves from the jurisdiction of the kingdom. Now it is officially stepped into the earth. That's when you see manifestation, demonstration, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah! Giving glory to God, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able to perform. Sometime you're in hope stage and you think you're in faith stage. But Abraham first had to believe in hope. He had to shed the hopelessness. All of this is part of moving out doubt. As the word's growing, the Bible says it's the least of all things. It's going to become greater than all things. And what's it going to do? It's going to expand on the inside of you. And it's driving out doubt and driving out unbelief and driving out all other occupants. Ready? To be released into the earth. It's not going into the earth till it comes to full stage. Full revelation. Now it's ready. Full corn! He says, but when the fruit is brought forth, that's where we are. The fruit is coming forth, which is actually my message. But when the fruit is brought, immediately put it in the sickle because what? The harvest. This is not normal harvest. This is 30, 60, 100-fold multiplication, global devil stomping, mountain moving, tongue talking. This is the kind of stuff that will move mountains out of the way, change and transform cities, transform generations, transformational glory on the scene, because somebody would not let go of that word. The devil knows it. He wants to replace it. He wants to steal it. He wants to move you in. I remember a really good friend of mine named Gary Carpenter taught this message called Neutralized by Good Intentions. He taught about a guy that was legitimately called to heal, the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus. He went to school. He went to training. He was in the Word of God, and he was called to have a healing anointing on his life for healing of deaf ears. And he had a heart for the deaf, because that's what God will do. He'll set his will on the inside of you. He'll set his plan, his purpose inside of you. So this guy comes along and he's training and all this, and all of a sudden he's getting weary because the kind of anointing he's looking for is not happening. So he ends up having a bright idea one time. I'm going to go to school. He starts learning everything he learned about that. He even learned the sign language. But then one day he started going to school and he wanted to invent hearing devices. And he spent his whole life in the production and invention of a hearing device so he could help humanity. Because that was his call. And he ended up with a business with hearing devices his whole life. Did he fulfill the will of God? In part, yes. But in part, no. Because that's not what God really had designed for him. It got replaced by a good intention. He got to help humanity to solve this thing going on in his heart, but he didn't get to the realm of the glory that he could speak a word and people would be instantaneously healed. Not easy to arrive at this thing we call revival. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants the creative realm of God. It's a good thought. Everybody can rejoice, but when it comes down to the day after day, you're going to have to walk with a word. You're going to have to keep a word. You're going to have to think like that grow, first the blade, then the ear, the full corn. You're going to have to deal with yourself. You're going to have to deal with the devil. You're going to have to deal with people. They're going to like you one day and they're not going to like you the next day. You're going to have to deal with your own emotions. They'll like yourself one day and you'll hate yourself one day. Then you got to walk with that thing over and over again. You're going to walk through disappointment thinking you're ready, but it's not ready because it's only blade stage. But you think you're ready and you can't figure out why somebody else can go out there and run, but you can't because you're getting shut up in the wilderness until the time your word can come. But meanwhile, it's growing. Under the Penuel sun. It's growing and growing. First the blade, then the ear. It's ready because he's going to put the sickle in one day. And God has a sickle. When he puts the sickle in, it's coming out. It's ready to birth. When it does, it has the multiplication of heaven in it. When this thing bursts, oh my God, the creative realm. Everything you ever wanted, the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. Sat down at the right hand of God. We don't know. He doesn't tell you where you are. He just tells you the end from the beginning. He gives you signs of where you're at. So, in closing, God wakes me up. He starts giving me signs. 70 years is a huge sign. If you want to know where the body, where we are, listen to the revelations, righthandofgod.com. Look at the 70 years. That is where we are. It's right on the front page there, the teachings. Listen to those revelations. God confirmed it twice globally to know we're ready. So we know. We know the foundation of the Latter-day House has been laid. We just know. So I wake up and the Lord said, it's time. He said, it's time now to enter in the final phase of the crown. He said, the receiving is complete. What he said, believe that you receive. He said, and he started explaining to me, he said, that's why I gave you all the revelations of the right hand of God and the face of God. Now, why the right hand of God? Let me just throw this in there. I know I've said a lot today. I'm about to close, but I got to say this because this is the beginning of all. It's the end of one phase, the beginning of a final phase. So the right hand of God is so marvelous because this seed that he puts inside of you, though it's shielded, you're still in the earth and the enemy comes after it. But there is a place of rest. There is a place of safety. There's a place you can leave. The Bible says you are seated with him at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You can escape. How many, you'll know about the secret place. You can go to your secret place with God. It's a place of peace that all of you leaves the warfare behind. That is the place where you represent the word you carry. That's the place that it gets freed from the enemy and his assignments. That is the place where it grows exponentially. See, he wakes me up and he says, the receiving is complete. And he says, I gave the face of God revelations for this very purpose, to finish the completion of receiving the promise within. Time for its release now. And he starts speaking to me of this other part. He says, time now. He said, it's not till it comes to full age that it can truly move a mountain. Because of the abundance of the heart with a word that's come to full age, when you speak that into time, it will start moving things in the earth. The reason they don't move in the earth in the beginning, they're not designed to move. The speaking in the beginning is designed for it to grow inside of you, but there's a time it'll possess all of you. It's a time it's come to full age. Then he said, believe those things you say at the past. You're speaking what's been growing up inside of you. Time to release it. It releases by the spoken word. It releases by loosing what's inside of you into the earth. That's why he said, with the heart man believes. But there's a time that it's going to initiate. It's the mouth that causes the salvation. The heart man believeth, but confession is made. That's what calls the initiation of the kingdom. There's a time when mountains move by what's gone inside of you has grown up. That word is now ready to release. And the earth will obey that word. Because it's time to come in. It's not like you're working to believe what you say. It's already inside of you. It's already pushed the stuff out. It's ready for manifestation. Ready for demonstration. And that's when I wake up and I go grab the yellow pad because I'm going to try to capture all this that he's saying to me. And right there on top of the yellow pads, these. Now you may not know what these are, but these is how he started the whole church. These scriptures that I wrote down and I sat and confessed these for 6 hours a day at times. Sometimes four, sometimes six. For 11 months straight. And the spirit of poverty was shattered. It broke. It shattered. That was a lion and bear. But when he showed me these, I knew immediately this was the sign. Time now to bring forth what's inside. Time for the release now. The day, and he told me, he says, don't let a day go by that you don't address my word in present time. And say, the crown is at hand. The day of the crown is at hand. And there's other things we're saying, but now that this is full age, call those things that be not now, release them into time. What you received outside of time, you release into time. You bring it from another dimension. It's grown up from another dimension. You're full of something. The earth will obey you because you're not standing in your name. You're standing in his name and you're standing in the time of the word. The word, the time of the word is at hand. That's when the Lord stood up there. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say that his first 30 years. That his stuff was growing inside of him. He didn't walk out and do miracles. How many people died in the Lord's village where he grew up? And he couldn't do anything for them, being the Son of God. It wasn't until the time his word came at age 30. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His word was ready to release. And it released without measure for 3.5 years into the earth. There's a time when it's time's at hand. When you speak, mountains will move. What's happening is people try to put a word in their mouth that's not in their heart, and they're trying to move a mountain by just putting a word in their mouth. But it's not a here. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth's going to speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Put life in you, it'll come out of your mouth. Put the word of life in you, and it will produce a harvest. It will come to age. When it comes to age, when it's spoken into this age will obey. That's the difference. We're trying to move mountains, but our word is not full age inside of us. In ear stage, you're not going to go move a mountain out there. Full corn in the ear, it has to get ready to come out. In the fullness of time, it'll come out. That's the glory. The Lord said, you don't even know joy. Wait till the mountains start obeying you. Wait till the mountains start obeying what's inside you. What you've been carrying all these years thinking you're not getting anything done. Wait till the world starts obeying what's inside of you. That's the privilege of those who keep his word. to fullness of time to release it into the earth. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah! Believe those things which he saith from a heart that is full. When the word of God has come to completion, you'll see mountains move. Come on, let's give him glory!